Hello, HBCU baseball fans, and welcome back to another edition of our podcast series. Our podcast series focuses on the HBCU baseball coaches and the many things they do for their baseball programs. Today, our podcast series is focused with West Virginia State Yellow Jackets head baseball coach, Sean Lloyd. Sean, how are you?
Doing well, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Well, we got many things to talk about in our podcast series, and so do you. You were at the West Virginia State for quite a long time as an assistant, more than 20 years, and you became the head coach in 2014. How'd that come about?
Well, I was the assistant coach here. I got the assistant coach job when I was 22 years old, and had a lot of opportunities to go to other places. Actually, I'm a very much a self-evaluator, and I just didn't feel like I was ready to move on. I was under a great head coach who gave me a lot of responsibility, so I just decided to stay here. Then my career took kind of an odd turn when I became the university's athletic director. So I was the assistant baseball coach and the athletic director for about 9 years, for about 8 years. And then when Coach Bailey, our legendary coach here, decided that he was going to retire after the 2014 season, I had this long discussion with our president, and we had kind of an exit strategy for me as it relates to the athletic director's position, because I enjoyed being athletic director, but I'd always identified myself as a coach, and being a baseball coach is what I always wanted to do, and I always wanted to be in a position where that's all I did. So after my first year as head coach, I did both the athletic director position and the head coach position, but then that following year I stepped down as athletic director and have just been the head coach the last, well, almost 2 years now.
How's that worked out for you? How do you...
I have the best job in the world most of the time. All coaches have hurdles and obstacles they have to go through day to day. But if you look at the totality of it, what kind of career could you have that's better than being a baseball coach? You get to be around young people. You get to talk about and immerse yourself in the things you love every day. And you get to be outside. For me, it's not a job, it's a career. I love it. There's nothing I ever want to be other than a baseball coach. And, I know it sounds cliche to say this, but I am actually living the dream because this is what I always wanted to do.
Well, what you've done since you came on board at for the Yellow Jackets is you've made the team, they're nationally ranked. They're a nationally elite baseball program. And there's a lot of respect nationally for what you guys are doing. What is it that you're doing on the field that you get your kids? Because you're more and more each year, more teams, ranked teams, are looking to play the Yellow Jackets. What are you doing different?
Well, I don't think I'm doing a whole lot different from what Cal Bailey, our head coach before me, did. I had the opportunity to play here for Cal. Then obviously I coached with him for 20 years. He took over the program in 1978. They were kind of a middle of the pack program, and in his first year he won the conference and went to the NAIA tournament. We were an NAIA school back in those days, and he just developed a program where year in and year out they were highly competitive, and we've had stretches where we've been, a top five program. We've had stretches where we've been a top 20 program. But in all those years, we've always been relevant. And, I think a lot of that has to do with, kind of the basis that Coach Bailey had established for the program, which is, try to get good players, obviously, get coachable players, get players with aptitude and players that academically are committed to getting a degree and, to kind of surround yourself with good people. And, I was smart enough, I think, to, when I took over as head coach, to not deviate from that a whole lot. we do some things differently from what Coach Bailey did. But the, you know, the building blocks of the program and kind of the nuts and bolts of the program have stayed the same.
Well, a lot of your kids, the young men that come to your program, they're graduating. How are you getting high-minded kids to buy into your baseball program, but mainly is there to achieve an education?
Well, I think with anything, when you're trying to lead young people, I mean, the first thing you have to do is you have to give them a reason to want to follow you. And you know, we're very clear on what our expectations are from our guys, from an academic standpoint, what we expect, and from a social standpoint, what we expect. You know, we want them to obviously represent their families and our program and the university in a positive way. And, you know, we put expectations on them. We put high expectations on them. And if you can get those two things in order, then the baseball part seems to take care of itself. You know, I think as coaches, our job, it's more to, I know it may sound a little bit corny, but I think our job is to inspire. We've got to get them to understand what exactly it is we're looking for and show them, you know, several different ways they can go about doing that. And, you know, when they see improvements in their game, then I think, you know, that just kind of perpetuates itself. And, you know, once they start improving a little bit, then they get a little more hungry to continue to try to develop their game. And, you know, I don't think we've not reinvented the wheel. I don't think we're doing anything that differently than other programs in the country are doing. We've just been fortunate for several years to be correct in our recruiting process in terms of the type of kids we're profiling that we want to have in the program and what type of attributes and what type of value they bring to the program. And, you know, when I'm looking at what kind of value they bring, you know, it's not always their athletic ability that stands out for me. You know, we have several kids on the team that were walk-on type kids that, you know, may have been a local kid here in West Virginia that I've known for a while and like, and have watched them work and know that they're, you know, committed to being a college graduate and know that they have high aptitude and a good work ethic. And, you know, those types of people are very, very important to your program, especially at the B2 level, because I think it's extremely important at our level that as coaches, we have to be really, really good teachers. Because, you know, we're not always going to get, you know, the blue chip players. You know, those kind of kids either get drafted or go to the large nationally ranked Division I schools. So we have to find value in kids that others may overlook or others may not think that they need. And then we have to be able to teach them and we have to be able to coach them. And that's where the aptitude part comes in on the player's part and their desire to work and their desire to improve. You know, those are important pieces you know, to the types of players that we get. And it's an enjoyable process when things turn out well. You know, it's fun. And my background is teaching and, you know, it's what I like to do. And it's really kind of how I identify myself.
Well, not to switch subjects, but a lot of the kids, when they come to your program, they're coming not just to get in an education and playing ball, but they're playing in one of the tough conferences, the Mountain East. With you being the only HBCU program in that conference, it's a tough conference, Coach. Let's be honest with ourselves. Last year you went to the championship game. You didn't win, but the last 2 years you were able to win the conference championship. Where do you see the program going this year?
Well, you're correct. The Mountain East is a good baseball league. I think that a lot of the institutions in our conference have started to emphasize baseball more, and I think that given a lot of the other schools have been given more resources to improving baseball. I think we've seen a lot of the schools, the salaries for the coaches have gotten better. The scholarship dollars have increased. I'm not always for that for the other schools. I'll rather them not get anything. And, it'd be nice to have a giving every once in a while on the weekends. But, we're to the point now where that's really not the case. It's a good league. There are good coaches in our league. And as far as this year goes, I approach every year as it's a new chapter. It's a new beginning. I don't think that there's a lot of carryover from the previous year because that was last year. And even if you return to the exact same roster, it's still different. A lot of things happen over the summer, and kids start to mature, and the older kids start to kind of get towards the path of how they're going to be as adults. So things change a little bit. My expectations for our team is what it's always been. I want us to obviously play good sound baseball, but the thing that we harp on with them is we want to constantly improve. We want to start playing a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better each week. So by the end of the season, we're at our best. And as you know, there's a lot of factors that go to that. You have to stay healthy, and there's a lot of distractions for college age student athletes that you have to be able to manage and help them along with, and that sort of thing as you go through it. But we want to be playing our best baseball, about three quarters of the way into the season, and be able to maintain and carry through, and hopefully have an opportunity to play well in the tournament and advance in the NCAA tournament if we can. This team this year, probably the hardest working group of kids I've ever been around. I've not had to tell anybody, you got to run harder, you got to run that ball out. I mean, they're highly self-motivated individuals, and I think the one little bit of carryover from last year is getting beat in that championship game. We got beat pretty handily, and it left a bad taste in everybody's mouth that returned this year. And I see a difference in those guys as it relates to how they are going about their day-to-day work. So that's encouraging that, those guys have kind of taken it upon themselves to, put a little bit more emphasis in the little things, understand that there are no little things. And, that just perpetuates itself because, the group of freshmen and the new guys that come in, that's when they see those guys work like that, for them, that's the new normal now. And, that's the expectation every day that they have to come in with. So I'm encouraged by how our guys practice. We open up this weekend with Mercyhurst, which is going to be a tough opponent. And, I'm excited at playing a real good team right off the bat. I'm a little curious as to how some of our younger guys are going to respond. And I'm curious as to what kind of improvements our returning guys are going to show.
Well, to keep it on your players, Black College Nines was just made aware of one of your players, Justin Graham, was diagnosed with leukemia, and he's battling the disease as we speak, and he's been redshirted. Can you tell us how he's doing right now?
I talked to Justin's mom. I texted with her this morning. He just finished his first round of chemotherapy. They're waiting on some test results to try to get some things in order to see where the next step they go and the timeline for the next step. He's battling. That's the type of kid he is. Obviously he's missing his team, which is indicated to me. But we're very encouraged by where he's at right now, and by the progress he's made thus far. So we're just continuing to pray that he gets a speedy recovery, and that he's able to get this behind him and move on with his life and have a high quality of life the rest of the way. And I know you know this, Michael. I mean, we put a lot of emphasis on baseball, and that's our life and all that, but sometimes there's things that just supersede a silly game, And this is one of those things. And we're focused on trying to do everything we can do to support Justin and his family, so he can get himself well and get healthy and then move on. But it, obviously it was a shock. To our program, our kid, because he was a very, very popular guy on our team, excellent player. This is where we are now, and the only thing that we can do is continue to help him fight and to love him and to love his family and give them all the support that they need from us and think about him every day, and that's what we've all been doing.
It's my understanding he was going to be a starter. He was going to be a main cog in your game plan.
Yeah. And Justin was a freshman last year, and he didn't start early on in the season. About halfway through the season, he cracked the starting lineup and was in the starting lineup the rest of the way. And did a really nice job for us. Very athletic kid. A huge team player. Understands the game, that sort of thing. So, yeah, he was slated to be one of our guys.
Well, Coach Lloyd, through all things, prayer changes things, and our prayers are with the young gentleman.
I appreciate that, and we appreciate it, and I'll pass that along to his family as well.
We appreciate that, Coach. But just to be winding things down here, it's my understanding that, I think, now correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, aren't you on the NCAA committee for Transparity?
I'm on the NCAA National Committee, yeah.
Okay, and that mainly is for... fill me in on that one, because I have a different understanding or a different view, and it's kind of confusing. It's like when a team doesn't have a winning record and they make the playoffs, you bring transparency.
That is confusing to me as well, especially when we were 32-win deep last year, didn't make the playoffs. But this is my first year on the committee. I'm kind of getting my feet wet. I'm on a committee with... I think there's one other person on the committee that's a first-year person. The rest of the folks are well-seasoned with the process. We assist with championship site selection, and participants in the NCAA tournament. So I've not been through a cycle of the selection. We're slated to start talking about that in our next conference call. But, it's interesting, and I've served on regional advisory committees in the past, and been a part of, the regional selection, which goes to once the regional advisory committee selects what they believe to be the teams that should participate in the regional tournament, it goes to the national committee. And the national committee is what I'm a part of now, so I'm curious to see how that process, works. I've gotten a little bit of insight from the folks that are on the committee, but we spend a lot of our time, or a lot of the time that I've been involved thus far, with procuring a Division II championship site and that sort of thing, and then working through bids for subsequent championship sites.
Well, Coach, you're number two in Black College 9's preseason poll. Well, you were one vote short, that's why. The committee voted, and when they voted, you were one vote short, so.
Okay, I got you. We'll take it.
Well, you guys, you're heading into the season. Your game starts this weekend. We're going to be looking for some good things out of the Yellow Jackets, as always. Coach, it was a good pleasure talking to you. We will be in contact this season.
Excellent, Michael. We really appreciate everything that you do. I know there's a ton of hard work that happens on your end, and I'm sure that I share the sentiment of all the other coaches that you know, we notice it, we appreciate it, the efforts that that you put out there to try to generate interest in our schools and our HBCU schools and the young men that participate. It means a lot, and you know, I think that there's several players at these schools that have the ability to be draftable kids or free agent signed. And you know, I know you were kind of directly responsible with getting one of our guys signed by an independent team, just by getting the word out. So we really appreciate what you do. It's meaningful work.
All you guys got to do is one thing. You keep putting the product on the field, and we'll report it.
Okay, we're going to try to do our best.
God bless you, and God keep you, Coach.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
All righty.